Resolution 25-003, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Deckenden. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of council at...
Do you want to grab the time, Mary? 6:32?
Yeah.
6:32 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried.
Testing. Sorry, new year, I forget how to use this thing. Can you hear us okay, Jennifer? Okay.
I couldn't hear her.
She's...
Sorry, yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you.
Resolution 25-004, moved by Councilor Haslam, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held January 14, 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. We're back at open session, so I'll ask for roll call once again.
Councillor Morley Haslam.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Hackenen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton. Mary Smith, Deputy Clerk.
Mayor David Ward. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. On to delegations and presentations. We have the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee proposed 2025 budget and the Healthy Shorelands brochure for tax bill mailing. Want to read the resolution or just hold that and let...
Hold it to the end.
Yeah, okay. Let Jennifer speak then. It's all yours, Jennifer. Sure.
Thank you very much. That's great. Thank you for having me. So the budget, this is the draft of the 30th of December 2024 that I have in front of me. So the water testing, the levels were raised of funding a little bit because we're expecting that, like everything else, the prices are going to increase. So the education component of the budget, there's money for turtle signs, for 200 welcome packages, which the committee is working on the contents of that. Of those welcome packages, well, just one, but 200 copies of it. And we're anticipating two pamphlets, one of which I'm hoping to be finalized tonight. And honorariums for talks, every once in a while we find somebody who can really give a great talk that's timely, and sometimes we need to pay for that. So we have a number of those talks already on our part of the webpage, and they're quite valuable. Especially, I just wanted to point out the one on water treatment. That's gotten a lot of interest. And also we wanted to put something in there to revitalize the pollinator garden at the community center. It was last done in 2022 or 2023 in cooperation with the GBB, and so I'm hoping to get them to help us with it again, and it's gotten overgrown with a couple of plants. I'm not quite sure of the identity. That's Seuss bailiwick, but anyway, so the subtotal for the water testing would be 12,070. Subtotal for educational activities would be 5,300, with a grand total of 17,370. So I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you have about the budget.
I just had one of interest. I don't see it showing up here. I see that the actual budget was 18,000, et cetera, and then the actuals was 13,000, so 5,000 under, which is really good. Does that show 5,000 show up anywhere as, I mean, what happens to it, I guess? Was that put in a reserve account?
No, not that I'm aware of. It just goes back into the pot. A lot of that was, we were planning to print the Septic Smart booklet and then decided that we didn't need to do that. So that took, well, it was somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 out of the budget, and there were a couple of other things that we didn't need to spend money on. So that just goes back into the general kitty.
What do we have? Okay, I'm just wondering, in December we had a resolution that was for fire, I guess, recreation and historical. It didn't say lake stewardship.
Correct.
So I'm just wondering about this 5,000 floating around. I mean, it wasn't spent, that's right, so it goes back into the general coffers, I guess. Is that something to consider, that that's sort of a bonus that would be put in at the beginning of the budget, that this is sort of left over, or does it run from year to year to year?
I'd have to ask the treasurer.
Are you asking me? I'm not
sure. I'm actually trying to get an answer from the treasurer, but he's not here, so.
No, I think Tony Best talked to him about the getting this Healthy Shorelines flyer printed, which I'm going to present next. And he said it wouldn't be able to come out of the money left over because the budget for 2024 is closed. But that if it's approved tonight, that he would he could take it out of our proposed budget. So either way, I think we're covered for getting the Healthy Shorelines budget printed, hopefully, so it can go out with the tax billings.
I'm just wondering if that's you know, down in the future, whether that should be considered with the other committees that actually have money put into reserves, and could that happen here with this particular committee too? Because it just seems to disappear otherwise. And maybe there are certain programs that they can't do because for various reasons, and it would be nice for them to have that money for some future program perhaps. Well, we can ask the treasurer certainly and see, get his thoughts on it.
That would be great.
Okay. Other questions from council? Okay, on to the Healthy Shorelines brochure then.
Okay, yes, we have this brochure in two forms. Right now, it's you have the copy of the six-panel form that would be printed and folded to go in with snail mail, tax mailings. But we also have a two-page version. It's identical, except that it's on two pages in portrait style that could be attached as a PDF to any email that would go out with the tax billings. So this pamphlet, Healthy Shorelines, promotes healthy habitat and healthy water. It talks about the role of trees helping maintain the rainwater and help it soak into the ground. And it talks about the depth and extensiveness of the roots of native plants and bushes, which further help the rainwater soak into the ground as the roots give them a channel for the water to go down deep into the ground, much deeper than grass, for example. And this, it's very slow replacing groundwater, but after many months it does actually seep down to replenish the groundwater as well. And trees also and bushes slow the soil of the land from running into the lake during a heavy rain event. So anything that can slow that down is a good thing. In the lakes and rivers themselves, at the shore, but underwater, or in the water, plants protect hatchlings, so tiny fish and little turtles and frogs and toads and that kind of thing. And also promote the health of creatures in the benthic zone, so the little tiny microscopic creatures, but they're an integral part of the food chain in the lake. We have a new member who recently retired from MNR, and he provided us with information that's on the flyer about avoiding the dumping of sand and the requirement for a permit for work at the shorelines if you want to do any dredging or removing of plants. So just to let people know that they would need to have an environmental permission to do that from MNR. And we're encouraging the trees too by bringing in by using only local firewood, because a lot of the tree diseases that spread around the province and around North America actually come in on firewood that is brought in from outside. And so we have we're really trying to help people understand to use only local firewood. And also for the health of trees, to, if you need a view, rather than taking down the whole tree, trim the lower branches, because that maintains the having a tree in the ground with all of those advantages. And finally, encouraging native plants that do not need herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizers to thrive. So even if you don't have a whole lot of trees, then we're saying have a meadow rather than a field of a lawn of grass, because you don't need to use herbicides, pesticides, and fertilizers for that to thrive, and it's a lot healthier for the shoreline. So that's what we're hoping. Are there any questions? I'll try to answer any questions that you have.
Councilor Zulai.
Yeah, Jennifer, I'm just a little bit confused. In the last presentation that you gave, you were talking about the tree canopy, right? Not to cut your trees and everything. And now you're saying that we should be cutting the trees for firewood instead of bringing the...
No, I'm saying if you're bringing in firewood at all, please use local firewood.
So that would be cutting our trees here, which you were saying before, save your tree canopy.
Well, trees sometimes have to be taken down. We've taken some down to build ourselves. We've also had to take down trees that are falling down because they become dangerous. And there's, generally speaking, there's tree cutting that goes on with road building. And so our thrust for that point is to try to make sure that you know where your firewood is coming from. And there are people, I think, that sell firewood that have their own woodlots that are local. And so that promotes the economy as well. We're not saying take down your trees to have firewood. We're saying if you need firewood, please buy it locally.
Yeah, on the page here, Debbie, it actually says just do not bring in wood from outside our area, right? Having said that, we didn't define our area, but I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, but even people that cut locally that sell firewood, they're cutting the trees.
True.
Well, of course, what we're talking about is the shorelands, and we're discouraging them from cutting trees at the shoreline. That's basically what we're doing. But there's a lot of trees that aren't right within short distance from the shore. So the shoreland trees are very important because they stop the runoff of sediment and they slow down the rainwater, which takes with it the sediment right from the shore, and that promotes erosion, and it promotes higher E. coli counts in the water itself. And so the trees right at the shorelands, they cool the water, and that's very important in an era of climate change, because you want shade over the water wherever you can get it to keep the water cooler. And it was seen as important for, generally speaking, for the health of trees. The committee thought it was important to mention not to bring in firewood from outside the area, because that it's very often imports tree diseases, which then can cause other trees to become diseased and have to be taken down, like happened with the Dutch elm disease, for example. There's also a red oak disease that's starting to come into the province, which is quite devastating. And so we just want people to be aware of, there's also a beech tree disease, and we just want people to be aware that, that buying firewood from outside the area can bring tree diseases into McKellar Township.
Councilor Keckman?
So in regards to that, maybe you want to add a little bit of an explanation, as you just did verbally, to that one paragraph regarding firewood, to promote the health of our forests, use only local firewood and do not bring in wood from outside the area, because it to prevent invasive species insects and diseases.
To prevent the spread of
invasive
insects in our forests. Yeah, I can do that. So to promote the health of our forests, use only local firewood and do not bring in wood from outside our area to prevent the spread of tree diseases. Does that sound suitable?
Something similar to that.
Okay,
any other questions? I have one that's not so much the content, but the logistics, I guess, because our clerk administrator said something about the mailing and the postage, and I don't know whether you want to expand on that or not.
Yeah, so unfortunately Canada Post has increased their rates effective January 17th. So to send letter mail, it's going to cost $1.24, where previously it was 98 cents. So this is going to limit what we can put in our tax mailings. So the library has the slot for the interim 2025 bill. Either the committee could have the slot for the final 2025 bill that goes out in July, or alternatively, if we could work together to do an email blast or some sort of electronic distribution, then you can get information out more frequently and not just at the tax billing time. I didn't know what your opinion was on that, Jennifer, but it's just something that we're going to need to take into consideration now, because some properties have more than one tax bill and that puts them in a different cost bracket. So if everyone were to just have one tax bill, our increase per mailing is about $165. So that's something the township's having to look at.
Okay. So are you saying that we shouldn't print this for this tax mailing distribution? Is that the
correct? Because the committee has had the last two mailings, and the library was promised one. They weren't able to get into the last final billing for 2024, so they're going to be put in for the interim 2025. So either we could send this pamphlet out around that time as well through an email blast, or if council's willing to increase the budget for postage, we can put it in the 2025 final.
That's the July 1, 2025 final?
Yes.
How many times? How many tax bills do we mail in at a time?
1,400.
1,400. Okay.
It's quite a big increase,
yeah.
And you know, we just went through the Canada Post strike, where we've kind of had to pivot and not rely so much on the mail. So maybe even in the future, tax billings will be more pushed out towards email and not by Canada Post.
Well, we could certainly do a smaller printing of this. I would like to have some in printed form, so that we can distribute those as we talk to people, and maybe cut that back quite a bit instead of what we were planning to do. But I could certainly work with you on having the email blast. That would be fine.
Okay.
Do you have emails for all of the township residents now, or
not all of them? Later in the agenda, council is looking at entering into an agreement with a company that would facilitate collecting information and sending out email notifications. If that were to not happen, then the township could, you know, find an alternative solution. Right now, we just send emails for tax billings where people have given us permission to send their tax bill to their email. We could do an advertisement campaign to say, you know, the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee is wanting to send publications via email. You can sign up, and then we can send the emails out that way.
Okay. But you said we could send this out in the final tax billing in July.
If the budget were to reflect the additional cost in postage.
Okay.
Looking at previous budgets, we've budgeted $8,000 a year for postage, and we've never exceeded even 107,000, so we would not really have to move any significant amount from previous budgeted amounts. The $8,000, so in 2021 actual, $5,500, 2022, $6,700, 2023, $5,600. So we've never even exceeded $7,000.
And we are looking, we're now doing EFT payments, so less checks are going out in the mail, and that is also decreasing our postage. So, you know, potentially there could be money left in the budget for the 2025 final billing.
Have you looked at whether or not having two brochures, one from the library and one from ourselves, would bring the weight of what is mailed out above the standard rate for an envelope?
Yeah, typically we only have one publication per tax billing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we can send this out in July, then I guess we'll have to wait till then. But I can work with you to send out the emails sooner than that. That
yeah.
would be great.
Yep.
Okay. Is anything else we need for me tonight?
Just approval of the brochure as it stands. We'll get some printed, and with the addition of that one phrase. So the whole sentence would read, to promote the health of our forests, use only local firewood and do not bring in wood from outside our area to prevent the spread of tree diseases. So that would complete that sentence. Other than that, I think as it stands, and then we could go ahead and get some printed for distribution.
Okay, we're just working on revising, editing the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Resolution 25-005, moved by Councillor Keckin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Jennifer Gent Fuller, Chair of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, to present the committee's draft 2025 budget and the Healthy Shorelands brochure. And further, that the Healthy Shorelands promote healthy habitat and healthy water pamphlet be approved and mailed with the 2025 final tax billing. And further, that the committee work with the clerk on electronic news publications sent via email. Discussion? No comments from council? Jennifer, does that sound all right?
Sounds fine.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thank you for your presentation. I'm
yep.
certainly welcome to stick around and listen to the rest of the meeting.
Okay, thank you so much.
Resolution 25-006, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby moved into committee of the whole at 6:58 p.m. for discussion regarding the loan guarantee and other related matters for the Belvedere Heights Home for the Aged Board of Management with Board Secretary Treasurer Don Carmichael. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, Don, it's all yours. Now, this is a committee of the whole, too, so it is open up to anybody online and the public if they have any questions.
Right. So, is this on?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. If you just want to tilt it to your...
Yeah. That's okay? Yeah. I can turn my alpha voice now. Carly, you didn't expect me to make a presentation tonight, right? Because
no.
We had Pam and I were here 7 months ago, right? And then we did update some of the numbers that I sent to you for consideration by council. So if there's any issues, there's a couple of issues, right? One of course, was the return of the $700,000, right? As you recall, that was returned because we had exceeded the 50% allowable operating reserves back in the old long-term care act. The Fixing Long-Term Care Act now allows us 25%. And so that back then, our reserve total was 1.6 million. It's now 3.3 million. And so we can basically double our reserves in Belvedere and still be within the legal limits of the revised act. Of course, the funding has increased dramatically because of the significant increase in the hours per resident day, right? It's gone from 2.4 to 4 across the province with the long-term care initiative that the government has put in. So we've had basically $4 million increase in funding since then, from $9 million to $13 million. Because of that, the provincial initiative. So the $700,000 would then be available to apply against the approximate $14 million redevelopment cost for the 22 beds, so that we can keep the debenture down and in about $10 million range with the funding, one-time funding from the government, as well as your contribution to the $700,000. That's that item. There's the TD line of credit as well, right? So that's been in the works now for almost 2 years, right? And so essentially, when we initially started the TD line of credit process, was with the campus of care concept that perhaps we would be closing the whole campus and we would have to buy back all of the units and then relocate like this, essentially. Of course, that's a big goal, as you're well aware, that we got denied, that the campus of care was denied, or at least our request to do that was denied. And so we had three options, was either continue to close Belvedere, which all of municipalities would have to issue a new resolution, status quo, or add the bands that were previously awarded to us while we were negotiating the campus of care. We also got sort of a surprise award of the 24 beds. And we can only do 22 because of the physical footprint. You know, we talked about that. So we decided to go ahead with that. You all eight municipalities approved that in June, that, you know, given the choice, more beds, 22 beds is better than zero and better than closing. And so that's why everyone was on board to do that. So in any event, if in fact now LifeLease may still be sold in the open market, we have one person on the wait list to purchase, as I've mentioned before. Very few people aren't purchase anymore, they want to rent, because LifeLease isn't a great investment, really. And so people are more interested in renting places than purchasing places. So we have units back if, in fact, the residents cannot sell them on the open market. And ultimately, someday we'll have to buy them back anyway, because as owners, you'll have to eventually, they've got to come back because it won't be continued. So anyway, we have the model that we put together to potentially buy these units. We have a pro forma that looked at potentially 1 to 2 units, say 2 units per year, which is usually the maximum that turns over. And that would be, done over a nine-year period. And so now that interest rates have come down, there's virtually no risk. We have quite a bit of surplus income, actually, to actually pay down the loan over time. So it's a solid business model in terms of doing that. If in fact we can't sell them, there is no market for them anymore. If that's the case, so essentially at the moment we have preferably one person on the rental, so that was interested in purchasing. We have 3 or 4 on the wait list for rent. So it's usually a 20-25%. And for a couple of years we actually had no one. Buy, 4 for rent. But this year we have 1 for buy. Last year we had a couple for buy as well. So, but prior 2 years of that, there's no one that's interested in buying just rent. So we'll see what the future brings with that. Any questions on that?
So John?
Yes.
Can you just clarify there are no units available right now?
Yes, that's correct. There should be. There will be. Because one of our residents passed away in December, so I don't know if it's in probate again, Debbie, Councilor Zielinski, but so it probably will come up in the next couple of months. And there is one person on the wait list. I think you're up with the meetings, right? So I'm not sure if she's still interested or not, but she was on the wait list last fall. So we haven't reached out yet because we haven't been asked to put it. The selling process hasn't started until the estate asks for us to deal with that.
Councilor Cuthbert. So currently, what finances do you have available to purchase any units that become available?
Right now, well, we've got about $1.6 million in reserve. So, and we have been using some of that operating reserve for that. We are sort of cognizant of the fact that we are looking at what other monies are we going to need for the new build. Right, so we've got three issues: buying life lease units back, building the new beds, and the Roth IAMS report that it fixes the existing 101 bed building. Right, we did that probable cost estimate 3 years ago, which is about $3.4 million at that time. About $280,000 of that is life lease. The balance is the 101 bed, a long-term care home, the old building. And so we have, and that probable cost estimate was over 15 years. And that was 3 years ago, so now say it would be in, well, and that included foundation work, roofing, flooring, HVAC. Some of that has already been funded by the COVID funding from the ministry. So we haven't reconciled that yet in terms of exactly what are the puts and takes. The foundation work we can probably build into the new build. The $300,000 for the foundation work, we could probably bury that in the new build as part of the work that we have to do in the foundation anyway. And there may be other things like that. There may be still some residual HVAC we can do because the whole HVAC has to be upgraded for the 22-bed addition. So there are some opportunities there, but so those are the three issues. Some of these are still unknown, Councilor Cuthbert, in terms of how much we're actually going to have to spend. And of course we're pretty confident, but one of the things that we're dealing with is that we're expecting the economy of scale issue to, we're counting on essentially over $400,000 in savings with economy of scale when we add the 220 beds, which will actually help contribute to the bill. Because government sort of funds just about half of that, right? So we're funding the other half through revenue. So we're pretty confident with that. And of course the model builds in about $100,000 in the contingency every year. so that's good. And that's partially because of the $700,000 helping to offset the bill cost. And of course, and that can, interest rates still may go down. Our current estimate is 4.35% through IO. I suspect that's down, and we haven't updated that yet. We're waiting for the Class A estimate, which was supposed to arrive today, and it didn't. But IO, Infrastructure Ontario, wants to see that first, and then we'll finalize the stuff. That actually doesn't get finalized until 2 years, until we actually finish the construction. So there's a construction loan component, which is at approximately 5% interest rate right now, which is interest only, right? So it's like a line of credit. And then the debenture will be 25 debenture, and the current rate for that is 4.35%, but that debenture won't take effect to about October, November. 90 days after substantial completion is when the construction loan gets converted into the 25-year debenture with IO's rule. So the interest rate then may be considerably lower than it is now. Who knows? Maybe higher. But we doubt it, right? With the trend.
So you currently own 5 of these life lease units. How did you finance the purchasing of those life lease units?
Out of reserves.
And how much were each of those life lease units?
About $220,000 each, so about $1 million. And some of them were on the higher end, so a number of the units. So the $220,000 is probably a good number for the average cost. A couple of those units were around $250,000.
So, in an email that you did send, you basically stated that this is a follow-up email regarding the status of Belvedere's request to establish a credit facility with TD Bank, ostensibly to buy back life lease units if required. Are you comfortable using the word ostensibly in that sentence?
Well, our plan is only to use it to buy life lease units if required.
So the word is ostensibly,
can be taken out.
According to the Cambridge University Press, is in a way that appears or claims to be one thing, but is really something else. So when you're requesting, over a $4 million line of credit, and you're expecting possibly 1 to 2 units per year,
mm-hmm.
I have a difficult time supporting a $4 million line of credit for something that you've been able to finance up until this point of time. And as you increase the units, you're generating, at this point in time, $55,000 net rent annually.
Right.
You had mentioned that the presentation that you gave, the business case that was presented last year is still relevant. And that did not seem to indicate that there was any finances required to purchase any of the life lease units from the municipalities, because the business case was one that was stable. So
maybe I didn't explain that properly. The business case is that we needed the revenue, that the surplus income that we talked about in the business case, offsets the line of credit expense. So we cannot spend $4 million. We will never have $4 million or even $2 million available out of our current reserves to continue to buy those units back. So if we have to buy them all back, we must have a line of credit facility, a term loan facility, to buy those units back. We cannot do it out of reserves. And particularly now when we have a new build, and we're no longer closing our 25-year-old building, right? In terms of the new nursing home building, we have to upgrade that as well. So it's a whole new world since we first actually started talking about life lease. So we got two other financial pressures now as well. So we cannot do this without the line of credit.
But the major concern as well is that, to use the word ostensibly, so that it's the perception is that this $4 million line of credit is for purchasing the life lease units, but it doesn't guarantee that that's what that money is going to be used for.
Well, it's the board's decision that we spend it. To be honest with you, TD Bank has removed the condition that it be used only for life lease. So we can use it for other things, but we won't be doing that. Because the other thing the other thing we're talking to TD Bank about is having a small line of credit like we did with Scotia Bank, now that we switched from Scotia, which would handle general needs, right? So that we would actually have a business line of credit that makes sense based on Belvedere's own financial statements, not requiring any guarantee from the owners. Technically any loan that we enter into requires your permission, and anything of any substance, the banks require the owners to do the guarantee that you've been asked to sign. Just like the IO, situation, we have the three municipalities now backing the IO loan. One of the things we talked about last time was we'll be asking everyone to support the venture IO 2 years from now. And again, we have the model where it's a contingent liability only. There's no real risk to you unless the bank calls the loan or IO calls the loan, which is virtually impossible. But
it is written right in here that the McKellar's portion of the said guarantee will not exceed $288,562.50. So we are accountable for that amount of money.
If only if the loan is pulled. In other words, if we can't afford to pay the $4 million back, then you would be on the hook. But given that that's not possible under this model, it's virtually impossible for us to go bankrupt and not be able to manage this. So it's, I'd say that's why I said low risk contingent liability for the municipalities to back this kind of a loan. And unfortunately, we can't do it on our own by the nature of our structure as a provincial corporation, as a district municipal.
And I think that's one of the hurdles that we have to deal with as a council. It's low risk, yes, but it is another risk. And we've got a couple of debentures out now already that we're paying interest on, with just for infrastructure. And then we have the debenture that you mentioned coming up in 26 that we'll be responsible for as well. And it's not money out of pocket sort of thing, as you say, but it's there as a possibility. And the way I read the contracts, too, even for this loan with the bank, that should all the townships, we're responsible for all of them, not just our 288. If something happened and they called it in and the other townships, for whatever reason, didn't pay or whatever, we're still responsible for them as well as part owners of that building. And that's what worries me, I guess, that worst-case scenario, we don't have the money on hand if it came to an actual cash that was required. And then we've got the pool on top of all that. And we've got so many things right now. Is there any possibility with the life lease that could be extended instead of at this particular point? If they're coming on the market, so not that often, but regularly, I guess, you're talking a situation where you had to buy them all back. If you just did a couple of years sort of thing, would we need that right now on top of everything else we're trying to balance as far as our costs?
Well, our plan is to only buy a couple back, so it'll be 5 years before we get from zero to 2 million, and then another 5 years before we get from 2 million to 4 million, right? And and there is some excess revenues, surplus revenue in all of this, and we may actually be able to pay it down. If it's only 1 year, then it will only be a couple $1 million 7 years out.
Yeah.
Right? Like if we only have to buy 1 year back as opposed to 2 year back, that would then double the time frame. And so we would never get to 4 million. We'd never get to use the 4 million. And some of the units that, that a lot of the units that we've actually purchased some of the most expensive units back just happenstance. The lower cost units are the ones that will be coming up probably in five years or so, and so it won't be the same amount. So at the end of the day, if you're on the hook for anything, it would be whatever 6% portion of $1 million or $2 million or whatever, not likely ever $4 million. But it's there if you need it. If you don't use it, there's no liability.
Councilor Kacken? But there is a chance that the $4 million may be utilized for something because you state that that money is available for whatever the board sees fit to spend the money on.
Yeah, the board, if we talk to the board, no, we're only going to use it for life things.
Well, that possibility is there.
Yes,
and
but
you,
that's...
And you've acknowledged that in writing, that that possibility is here.
Well, that's correct, but remember, as owners, I mean, you know, Councilor Wasulak, as a representative, I mean, talks to municipalities. So it's not like these decisions would be made, should not be made without you knowing about it. So right. So it's not like, I mean, I guess it could be, but I mean, it's supposed to be transparent conversations with the owners regarding what's going on. So it's not like something's going to cloak and daggers behind closed doors without owners knowing that these kind of decisions are made. So at least that's the way I look at it. Do you agree, Council?
Yeah, except I only have one vote at the table.
Oh, yes. No, I understand that. But
so if the majority of the board decides that it's good, regardless of what my townships that I represent say, if they were against it, I only have one vote.
That's true. But we have not been... We rarely go without consensus, as you know, right? So that's the board does not really do a majority vote on anything of any consequence. We're pretty, historically, we've been pretty conservative in terms of making sure that the owners are on board with decisions. And so, you say I can't recall any major decision where we wouldn't revise something, whatever, if one of the owners was concerned about something. Like the, for example, Perry Sound was very concerned about having a conversion from a line of credit to a term loan, right? So that if we did go, we did have these monies for life lease, that we would then be reducing the debt by not let it hang out there as a line of credit for years on years, convert it to a term loan, and then we're actually reducing the principal as well at the same time. And so we did that. So we modified the approach and with the bank as well. So it was a combination of line of credit with the option to convert it to a term loan as we see fit. Initially it was $2 million, up to $2 million, and it's which we have flexibility. If it's $1 million we want to convert it to a term loan, we can. There's no restriction. It's just that facility was added to the language. So it's not just a line of credit, it's a
I have a document here, life lease update. Is that from Bel Air?
You have to
take a look at it.
It's from, I guess I must have done this. Yeah, and that would have been almost 2 years ago.
In the future, if you can put a date on it so that we know when these documents are produced. But anyways, you talk about a scenario of when it comes time to repurpose the building or dispose of the entire property, what will that scenario look like in regards to the municipalities receiving some type of, does the municipality receive some type of a large return of finances at that point in time? Like, Do you have any idea, can you speak about what that scenario looks like?
That's the old scenario when back, right? Sorry, that was the campus of care. So that won't happen for at least 25 years. So, but to answer your question, the answer would be yes. If there was any, for example, if we got $10 million for the property, we have to buy out the life lease unit, say, for $5 million, the balance of the $5 million would go back to the municipalities. So, in fact, we were talking about much bigger money than that. But there would have been a return of capital to the owners if we actually sold 21 Belvedere and everyone moved to the campus of care. Or then life lease, whatever happened to life lease, a different location. But so selling the land would generate profit. Now that's no longer on the table for at least 25 years, probably longer. So, but that was the scenario with the campus of care. Thanks, Dave.
So how many units do you own now then?
Just five.
Five.
Well, I guess six. But the six, one of the units is being removed to go into the dining area. So unit 113 is now vacant, and it will be demolished. Well, one side of it will be demolished, right, to bring it into the new dining area of the resident home area. And we are applying to MBAC to have the taxes reduced for the building now that room will actually no longer be eligible for taxation as an apartment or a life lease unit. Is now part of the long-term care home. Right, so there'll be 23 units that are either life lease or apartment rental units once we're finished with this construction.
I'm wondering, Don, since there seems to be a concern with having the $4.5 million spent on other things other than the life lease, would council be more comfortable if somehow that there was a motion put forward that funds were only to be spent on life lease? Could that work?
Yeah, and there's nothing stopping the board of government, the board of management, Debbie, like our board, right, to do that. And because we had talked about that,
mm-hmm.
So we can certainly make that a condition.
I'm just wondering if you know you'd be more comfortable knowing that money wouldn't be spent anywhere else, just on the life lease.
Yeah, that's a possibility, and as well. Understand why it's the $4 million is because there's approximately 20 more units that need to be purchased, $250,000 per unit. That puts you up in that range, but when there's only one or two coming online, annually, and we're responsible for 288,000 if anything were to happen. That could the line of credit be half of that?
I guess it could. From TD's perspective, they wanted the process at once, as opposed to saying create $1 million and then go back and do $1 million, and then you all have to sign it again. I hear what you're saying, Councilor Zulik. Remember, if we don't spend the money, you're never going to be on the hook for $288,000 if we don't spend $4 million, right? Whatever amount is in the guarantee with TD is only how much money we actually use on that credit facility at whatever point in time that is, and we'd never be, as I said, never be up to $4 million until after 9 or 10 years, sort of minimum. Yes, we could, but this is the way that the bank just, there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of processing, and they just wanted to do the full amount, and then we use it or not use it, there's no risk, no additional risk.
Well, I think that there's less risk to us as a municipality if after 10 years that you say you wouldn't even get, you'd probably be at $2 million after 10 years, possibly.
Possibly.
Then that we reassess it after 10 years, and then we're comfortable with the $2 million instead of $4.5 million.
I guess that's possible, but.
I guess that's one of the questions, what the other townships have done at this point. Are you aware of what
Yeah, there's only two left, Whitestone and McKellar. Everyone else is on the docket for, like, today was carving, and 2 days from now is Archipelago.
Is it Whitestone 2 weeks?
Yes, 2 weeks is 23rd. The 23rd is Whitestone. So I think there's only four left. So Archipelago and Carling this week. And we've already got Robert Monti, Seaman, and Nick Dugo, Perry Sound, as well as this guy. So there's only, after this week, there'll only be two left.
That's okay. I do want to say that the work that is done for the residents at Belvedere is fantastic. So, like, this is not a discussion about, you know, the quality of care or the, you know, what's being done at Belvedere, but it is, for me, a concern of the risk that we're putting our municipality in. So half of that amount and a reassessment by the municipality after 10 years is something that would align with what I feel is reasonable, especially when ostensibly, you know, the money is to be used for the purchase of life lease units. I think that it's very fair to be able to reassess something after 10 years.
Yeah, and we can have further discussion certainly when we get to the bylaw section of the agenda. We've heard your comments, your concerns. I don't want to keep going too long.
What's your meeting, sir?
Any other comments from council? And I'll open it up to the public as well, since it is a committee of the whole meeting. If you have any questions, concerns? I know you don't have the documents in front of you, but they have been posted prior to this. Some of them are reading the bylaw here for another time, and that's something will be, as I say, on the agenda a little later.
Yeah, at the end of the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Well, great.
Thank you.
Resolution 25-007, moved to Councilor Keckman, second to Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby rise and report from Committee of the Whole at
7:30
p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And resolution 25-008, moved by Councillor Hassman, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the December 17th, 2024 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-009, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft minutes of the November 14th, 2024 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Any discussion of those minutes? All question.
There was one thing. So this is November 14th. Guests. I wasn't a guest, I was just zooming in. Guests are usually people who are participating in the meeting. So all the people that we have here don't appear in our agenda.
Okay, that's fair.
All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Resolution 25-010, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the November 28th, 2024 meeting of the Recreation Committee. Any discussion of those minutes? Councilor Pickett?
The visitor that you refer to as Bill Jarvis is Phil Jarvis.
Oh.
And it's four other times in there.
Sure.
Okay. Was there any update from James Whitehall on the arm wrestling?
No, he was just there in support of Phil.
Phil, okay.
And I guess the other question that we've talked about, it looks like it's coming up fairly soon now, we might be starting this, we talked about liability insurance. Was that ever taken care of, or who covers what? That's a high risk activity, I would think, but maybe it isn't.
Right. Carly, you were speaking to him, weren't
you? I haven't. If you're able to forward me his contact info, I can get in contact with him.
I'm just thinking, obviously, and I'm not sure what our waiver form looks like anymore. I know we looked at it and updated, but we want to make sure that the waiver form for whoever participates in that is solid and that we are protected. Further discussion of the minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have Resolution 25-011, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckman, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft minutes of the July 17th, 2024, September the 11th, 2024, and November the 6th, 2024 meetings of the Historical Committee. Discussion? I have one question that I put through. I looked at the September the 11th, and they accepted the draft minutes of the July 17th, so they would be full minutes at that point. I looked at the November 6th, and they accepted the draft minutes of September the 11th, so they would be full minutes.
Yes, they would.
So these wouldn't be all draft minutes.
No, just the November 6th.
Right. I don't think it's really either here or there. But yeah. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Receives the tender opening results for tender number 2024-16 regarding the acquisition of an SUV for the building department. Further, that the 2016 Chevrolet Equinox is hereby declared surplus and approved as a trade-in toward the purchase of the new building department vehicle. And further, that the tender be awarded to Bickley Ford Huntsville for the purchase price of $35,793.50 plus HST of $3,605.49. Less the trade-in value of the Chevrolet Equinox of $8,000, resulting in a total bid amount of $31,398.99. Discussion? I know there was some confusion on the actual form that went out, I guess, when people were filling it in and when the discount was taken off, or if it was. I think what we have to do probably, so what the public saw is not necessarily what they're hearing here. I think what we have to look at is the form that's sent out to these companies. Now, I know it's sort of a generic form that goes with RFPs, and the difference here, I think, is that we have a trade-in, which is not usual in most of the RFPs. Mm-hmm. So we might have to rework it in some way that they all fill it in the same way. It was a bit confusing with Bickley Ford because they had already subtracted the $8,000 when they put down the subtotal and it came to $27,000, but it should have actually been $35,000 at the top and then do the deductions then. And I was also interested in the HST, how that works, because we have two different situations here. In the new chart that was presented to us, the HST came after the deduction. reduction of the for the trade-in value, and yet in the actual form that they filled in, the HST came before the trade-in value of the at least two of the forms that they sent. So when does the HST, just for information, when does it apply? After the trade-in has been deducted from the list price? Or does it come before? I don't want to put you on the spot here. But
I think it depends with each company, and then staff aren't always aware what fees are taxable and what are not. So licensing fees, for instance, aren't taxable where disposable fees are. So sometimes it's hard to predict what a tender form would look like, and each vendor has different ways of putting in their line items and their accounting systems. But yes, I agree that we could probably, moving forward, update the form of tender, or perhaps have the tender opening form that's out to the public a little more clear.
And I think it was good that you did make contact with the successful, I say successful, we haven't voted on it yet, bidder, but to actually finalize the price to get everything cleared up with them. And so that's a negotiation with them, which I think is an excellent move. Any other comments, discussion? I guess the one thing, maybe it's in their delivery date, was it specified?
He put January 20th.
Okay.
So if Bickley is the successful proponent, then either Chris or myself will be contacting them tomorrow, and then they'll arrange when the new car would be here and when they would take the Chevrolet Equinox.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other questions? Comments? I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 25-013, moved by Councillor Keckinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the District of Prairie Sound Social Services Administration Board CAO reports for November and December 2024 for information purposes. Any discussion of those reports? A little bit of detail there.
Just a little.
Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-014, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing has received the Township's official plan amendment number 9, which has been under review for longer than 120 days, and whereas the Council of the Township of McKellar is committed to enhancing its planning capabilities and is interested in obtaining the authority to approve official plan amendments similar to our neighboring municipality of Whitestone, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar directs staff to invite representatives from the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing to provide a presentation to Council on the process, legislative requirements, and procedural steps involved in conducting and approving official plan amendments locally, and to establish a clear timeline for granting this authority, aligning with the Ministry's review of official plan amendment number 9. Discussion? Now, the two different things going on here, in a sense, in this resolution, but I don't know whether Carly wants to speak to it. You were in touch with some people about...
Yeah, Christopher Brown from the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing gave me a call a couple weeks ago to discuss the planning board and the resolutions they're receiving for them exiting. We got on different conversations, and he reminded me that the ministry is more than happy to come and speak to council on any topics that they wish. I had mentioned official plan amendments, and he said that that's a topic he would be happy to come speak about, and I said, you know, we are having our OP currently reviewed by the ministry. Can we kind of make this happen together? So hence why this resolution was brought forth to council. If you're interested in having the ministry come and do a presentation, how we can take this approval authority that council has wanted and kind of integrate it with our OPA number 9 coming up, then we can facilitate that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just we might have different people listening, and I know we talked about it before, what the holdup is with our OPA 9 at this point, and you'd mentioned the ministry understaffed, I guess.
Yeah, in the same conversation, I had asked why our reviews exceeding 120 days, and Chris had said that the ministry is experiencing staffing shortages like many other employers, and they had training for all their in-house planners in November of 2024, so no reviews were done that whole month. They have had five OPAs come in, and it's just first come, first serve. He didn't tell me at what point we were in the priority line, but they are well aware of our application, and they are looking into it, but he could not give me a date as to when it will be complete.
So did he say anything, Carly, their requirement to not have any longer than 120 days?
No. He did not mention anything, and that is something I can have a conversation with him. If, you know, they're past their limit with the Planning Act, what are our options?
Well, we can have that conversation when he comes.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that they're in the driver's seat.
Well, it's unfortunate.
They convert their own rule.
Yeah, if it was reversed, there'd be repercussions
right.
for the township.
And I guess the tied in with this, too, from our planner, have we heard anything from Mr. Jackson?
Only email correspondence where Mr. Jackson is asking the ministry when to expect this review back, and they aren't giving him an answer either, so that's the only correspondence I've had with the planner.
Okay. Any further discussion of this motion? All the questions then? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
So will we be making arrangements to get him to meet him?
Yes, I'll contact Chris Brown tomorrow and then get his availability when he can come to a meeting sooner rather than later.
Not by Zoom, by in person?
Yes,
if
I will request a